This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد all praise due to Allah and His praise and blessings and peace be upon Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وبعد. So we talked about the first right, which is when you meet your brother, you give him or give her salam. And we said also about if he invites you, you accept the invitation. And we said that the majority of the scholars limited this invitations to the invitation for the wedding. But we said it is recommended to accept any invitation that comes from your brothers and friends. And we said that the correct opinion as well, it is recommended to answer the invitation. Unless there is a reason, a valid Islamic reason, not to go to that wedding event. Now the third one, we're going to talk about it, which is وَإِذَا اسْتَنْصَحَكَ فَانْصَحْ. And if he asks you for an advice, you should advise him. Okay? By the way, for the sisters, if you guys want, we have the area here in the masjids ready and empty for you guys if you want to come forward. And this hadith establish a very important rule, which is that part of the rites and part of the etiquettes of Islam towards one another, that we advise one another. And also it shows us that we should seek the advice. Because he said, وَإِذَا اسْتَنْصَحَكْ مَعَنَا أَنْتَ تَسْأَلِ النَّصِيحِ. So you ask for advice. So that means the Muslim should ask for the advice, should seek it, should go and reach out and say, Brother Osama, can you please advise me about this? That's basically part of the etiquette that we learn from this hadith. And also, when someone asks you for advice, that you give them the advice. And the ulama, رحمهم الله تعالى, debated, هل يجب عليك أن تنصحه أم فقط يستحب لك أن تنصحه? Is it wajib upon you, or you must give him the advice, or it is only recommended for you to give him the advice? And I do believe that the opinion that it is must, it goes on the same line of the Sharia, توافق قواعد الشريعة, because this is a benefit. When I go and I ask you for advice, you must give me the advice. You don't cheat me. You don't basically betray me. You don't give me nothing. You don't deceive me. You don't mislead me. Okay? So if I go, for example, to Abdullah and I say, I need your advice. Do my car need an oil change? Okay? And Abdullah will say, yes, it does. And it doesn't. He just said that because he wanted to make extra money from me. He didn't give me the nasiha. Okay? In this case, he have sinned. Or he tells me, if I tell him, okay, I'm going to do this. And he said, you know what? I'm not going to tell you. And I ask, for example, is this good for me? And he doesn't give me the advice. Some ulama rahimahullah said, in this case, he has forsaken his Muslim brother. Because you should give a sincere advice to your brother and your sisters. طيب. Can anyone think of another scenario where the advice must be given? So the first scenario, I come to you and I tell you, can you advise me about this? What another scenario you think that also the advice is must? Now, a scenario like a general marriage, you can come to me and said, okay, what do you think of so-and-so to marry? Now, I'm talking about other than you coming to ask for advice.
If someone in your class is struggling in any type of subject, and you go to them, and you tell them.
Very good, Khalid, but sit properly. Very good. So the issue here is, that he doesn't ask you for advice. You go and give the advice voluntarily. طيب, question, is it wajib upon me? Only if I know that he is going to be basically going in trouble and harm, and I can save the person, and I know I can save the person, and I keep quiet. لأن الساكت عن الحق شيطان أخرس. If you know the truth and you know the right thing and you keep quiet, you're like a silent devil. A silent shaitan. Because you have to speak, you have to say the truth. I know that this is haram, and I only if I know that I can save, and I know that it is basically going to harm the person. Other ulama said, no, it will be recommended only. And that's, for me, more aliyak bi qawa'id al-shari'ah. It's recommended for you to go and volunteer the advice. But it is wajib if you ask the advice. Because you really don't know. And also it became very hard. If you imagine, I have to advise everyone that I see doing something wrong. Can you imagine how hard this is? That's almost impossible. يعني, let's say I am good at knowing the rules of Sharia. Can you imagine how many people I see every day doing things that I don't believe it's the sunnah, or I don't believe it's correct? Well, I'm not going to go home. Because I'm going to, hey, please do this. Please, you doing this. Please do that. Please. If it's wajib, it became very hard. Okay? So here we say, no, it is highly recommend to volunteer the nasiha. But if he asks you for the nasiha, you must give him the nasiha. Only if you have the knowledge. If you know the answer. Ma tufti. You don't make your own or you make up an answer. No, you only say the advice if you know the answer for it. Somebody asked me, Sheikh Waleed, what do you think is better? Is to open an account in business, for example, this way or that way, this medicine or that medicine? I don't know. I would say, ask Dr. Ishfaq. I'm not a doctor to tell you. But if I know, I will tell you. But if I don't know, you're not supposed to give the advice. أيضا العلماء said something important. قالوا أن الغيبة تجوز في مقام النصيحة. And العلماء رحمه الله said, when it comes to advice, you are allowed to say the truth even if it is a backbite. What's backbiting, Omar? Is backbiting allowed or not allowed, Qais? Not allowed to backbite, to say bad things about a person in his back. طيب, what if Ahmed comes and asks me, okay, what you think, okay, of this woman for my brother to marry? What do you think of her? And I know about this woman certain things. Like, for example, I know that she doesn't pray. Or she, for example, use drugs. Bad thing, that's right? Can I tell him that this woman is not a good woman for her brother because she used drugs? Would that be considered backbiting? Yes, but it is allowed. Why? Because I'm giving you an advice. Hey, can I go partner Yusuf and Ahmed together in this business? I said, no, I don't advise you. He's a stingy guy. You don't want. He's so hard to deal with. You know, don't go with him. Okay? Stay away, Yusuf, from him as much as you can. Okay? So, you know, it's a backbite, but it's allowed. What's the proof for that? Fatima bint Qais came to the Prophet ﷺ and she said, Ya Rasulullah, I have several men proposed to me. تقدم لي من الرجال هو معاوية معاوية بن أبي سفيان. He said أما معاوية صعلوك لا مال له. He said معاوية صعلوك يعني loser has no money. That shows you if you don't have money, stay home. Go look for a job. You know, don't look for a wife. Look for a job first before you look. Like one guy came once, he wanted to marry a sister here in the masjid, and he told me, I want to marry this sister. I said, okay, how much mahar you can give her? He said, I can't offer any mahar. I said, $500. He said, I don't have $500. I said, if you don't have $500, you need to look for a job, not for a wife. He said, Sheikh, inshallah, when I take her, Allah will make me rich. I said, no, it's not true. You didn't know the story of the millionaire. You know the story of the millionaire Abu Walid? A guy was asked, how you became a millionaire? He said, my wife made me a millionaire. He said, how come? He said, I used to be a billionaire. So, I said, she made me a millionaire. Okay, so here we say that marriage is expense, is responsibility. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ مِنْكُمْ طَوْلًا أَنْ يَنْكِحْ. Those, الطول يعني إيش يعني المال. Those who don't have money to marry. That's why Imam Malik رحمه الله used this verse to say, the dowry is a must in the marriage, is wajib. So here we say that he said, has no money, don't marry him. Then she said, and also Abul Jahm. Abul Jahm is a man who also proposed to her. He said, Amma Abul Jahm, فهو لا يضع العصا عن عاتقه. He always carrying the stick. Al ulama said, carrying the stick means what, Muhammad? لا يضع العصا عن عاتقه. What do you think that means? Huh? He hits a lot. يعني he's abuser. He's aggressive. Also, could means كثير السفر. يعني دائما حامل متاع. He travels a lot. He put, because in the old days they put their clothes on the stick and carry it, or he traveled with the stick a lot. So either he travels a lot, so you know he's not around. He's not a kind of family man, or he's an aggressive person who hits a lot. Don't marry him. Then he recommended for her to marry who? Usama. طيب. These are words and things which is negative. That's not a backbite. And that was not backbiting from the Prophet ﷺ. As-salaf, lahum ahwal ajiba fi al-nasiha. Hatta ma al-nusih. Al-nusih, the word nasaha. Listen to this, Omar. Nasaha in Arabic language means khalusa. It means purity. In nasiha, it means like when you take the honey, if you ever see the honey, and you clear the honey from all the things that attach to it, from all the, you know, the what is it? Comb. Yeah, the comb that in it, and you clear it and it became pure liquid, that we call نصح العسل, يعني خلص. That's a pure honey. So that's a nasiha, it means something so pure, there is no interest, no personal interest. It's not like what Abdullah said, change the oil because he wanted to get me, change the oil to get him money. That's no nasiha. Because he's not sincere. Or this said, oh, don't do this, don't do that, because I have a special interest. So Umar, for example, will tell his sister, don't eat this. It's not good for your health. He doesn't care about her health. He wants to eat that candy later on. You see? So that's basically, there's no nasiha here. As-salaf, they will give the nasiha even if it goes against themselves. And they will give nasiha to everyone that they can. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, جرير بن عبد الله البجلي قال, بايعت رسول الله على النصح لكل مسلم. I give my allegiance to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم that I will give advice to every Muslim. To the extent, one day, جرير, his servant, اشترى فرسا له بثلاثمائة. He purchased, you cannot hear me? Okay. So he purchased a horse for 300 dirham. And when he saw the horse, he said, this horse is original horse. It's worth way more than 300. Then he went back to the seller. The servant said, I was good. I managed to get it for 300. I squeezed the guy because he needs money. He said, no, that's not nasiha. That you're not being sincere. You're not being advised. That's against the advice. The advice is not to do that. You should advise him not to give it to you for 300. He's the buyer. He went back to the seller and he said, your horse worth more than 300. Then he said, how much you want to add? He said, 100 more. Then he said, it's worth more. 500 more, 600 more. He said, wallahi, it's worth more. فَمَا زَالَ بِحَتَّ اشْتَرَاهُ مِنْهُ بِثَمَانِمِئَةٍ. He bought it for 800. Can you imagine? He gave him 500 dirham extra. And he said, I think that's a very good price. I hope that this is, can reach so many Muslims who they squeeze the heck out of you when they come to make a business deal with you. Especially if you're a Muslim brother. You're my Muslim brother. You know, it means I have to give it everything for free. Or I can give you everything with losses. You know, then people complain. That's not correct. You should care about the right price for the right service, for the right, basically, thing. It's not, they said shatara. It's not a, you know, I'm a smart, I managed to get it, you know, I make the guy lose money. That's not right. If he want to give as a gift, it's okay. Abdullah Jalla Khair doesn't charge me anything. You know, that's fine. Just thank you. You know, Muhammad Saad, you know, give me, pancake. He charged me for one and, you know, give me extra one for free. I'm happy. Okay? So, but it's not to get what you don't deserve. Also, Ibn al-Mahdi rahimahu, Ibn Mahdi rahimahullah, قال, ما رأت عيناي أفضل من أربعة. I never seen with my eyes better than these four people. And listen carefully, the qualities of these four people. That made them the best four men he ever met. قال ما رأيت أحفظ للحديث من الثوري. I never seen anyone memorize many narrations like الثوري. ولا أشد تقشفا من شعبة. And I never seen anyone has no interest in this worldly life like شعبة. ولا أعقل من مالك. And no one has so much wisdom like Malik. So intelligent. وَلَا أَنصَحَ لِلْأُمَّةِ مِنْ إِبْنِ الْمُبَارَكِ. And he never any seen anyone who give advices to the masses like Ibn al-Mubarak. The ulama also talked about that you should give the advice in the nice way. You should give advice in a nice way. لَابُدْ تَنصَحْ بِطَرِيقَ جَمِيلَةِ. You know? It's not right that I advise you in a mean, bad way. I should be smart in the way I give you the advice. There is two young men, like Abdullah, Tariq. Let's say Tariq and Yusuf, okay? Same age, Al-Hasan wal-Husayn. They are young. They saw this old uncle, like me. I'm not too old. Like who? Okay. Like Hakim. Okay. You know, making wudu. حطه في راس حكيم. He is making wudu, but he's not doing the wudu correct. So they felt it's عيب. أنا صغير أنصح الكبير. It's عيب. It's not a right that me as a young person to advise this old man about something so simple like wudu. So what did they do? Anybody knows? They told him, listen to this, Omar, you're going to like that, Qais and Ayham. They said to the man, Ya uncle, can you watch both of us making wudu and tell us which one do the wudu better? We are the grandchildren of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can you tell us which one making the wudu the best? So they made the wudu in front of him two times so he can learn. And after they both finished, he said to them, I got it. قال عقلت. Fahimt. I understand what you're trying to do. Wallahi, you both knows how to make wudu and I don't. Now I know how to make. But see how smart this is in giving the advice in a nice way. جاء في تاريخ بغداد عن عبد المبارك رحمه الله غفر له. يقول قدمت الشام على أكبر إمام عرفته بلاد الشام اسمه الإمام الأوزاعي وهو مات في بيروت رحمه الله. Anyway, is Auza'i still exist in Dimashq? No, it used to recognize Al-Auza'i is basically known in history as part of Damascus. كَحَيْفِ أَحْيَاء دِمَشْقِ. Anyway, so Al-Auza'i rahimahullah, he was in Beirut in the end of his life. He lived there until he died. So Ibn al-Mubarak came to him. فالأوزاعي is a great imam. الأوزاعي in the same level, عشان بس تعرفه. الأوزاعي in the same level of الشافعي, مالك. يعني مالك, when he saw الأوزاعي, he came and he was holding الإمام الأوزاعي's horse and camel. مالك. مالك, who's a king without crown. ملك العلماء. إذا قيل مالك فمالك النجم. Malik is the star of the scholar. When he saw Al-Auza'i in Medina, he went outside of his house and he was holding the camel and pulling the camel while Al-Auza'i on the top of the camel. Just imagine that to understand what kind of man we talk about. So Al-Auza'i rahimahullah, when he saw Ibn al-Mubarak, Mubarak also known but much younger, then he said, Ya Khurasani, man hadha al-mubtadi' alladhi kharaja bil kufati يكنى بأبي حنيفة. He said, يا خراساني, because ابن المبارك from خراسان. He said, who's this مبتدع, innovator, who came from الكوفة, known as أبو حنيفة. قال فرجعت إلى بيتي. I came back to my house, and in my heart I felt so bad that he called أبو حنيفة innovator, and he said bad things about أبو حنيفة. And he said, I went back to my book and I got some of Abu Hanifa's answers and fatwas and things that he said. قال فاخترت من مسائل أبي حنيفة جياد المسائل. I collect some of the answers and some of the things that he said and the ahadith that he narrated and the issue that he talked about. And he said, for 3 days. After 3 days, I came and I saw Al-Auza'i rahimahullah. Called the adhan, called the iqama, and led the salah. And I had this book in my hand, I made a copy. And he said, what book you have in your hand? I said, this is a book. I want you to look at it. So Al-Auza'i looked at the book, and he started looking at the issues in the books. And he liked it. And he said, after he called the adhan, he looked at the book that I have. He said he kept standing, reading, until the iqama came and the people gathered waiting for him. He handled in the book, he made the salah, and he said, bring me the back. Let me look more in this book and see what this man was saying. And until he's finished, he said, Ya Khurasani, who's the one who wrote this book? Who's the one who answered this question? It's such a beautiful answer. There's so much knowledge. Who's that person that signed by the name of An-Nu'man? Who's that An-Nu'man? The answer's by An-Nu'man. Who's An-Nu'man ibn Thabit? I don't know who that person is. But this answer shows that this is a great scholar. Then he said to him, he said, he is from Iraq. He said, I think that's the best man al-Iraq ever produced. I never heard of anyone like this in al-Iraq. Then he said, that's Abu Hanifa that you talked about 3 days ago. And he said, Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. And from that moment, Al-Auza'i changed his position from Abu Hanifa 180 degrees. And he actually started praising him. And he met Abu Hanifa fi Mecca. And he mentioned to him some of the things that he read in the book. And Abu Hanifa explained it even more. And Al-Auza'i rahimahullah said, this man has so much knowledge, has so much waqar, respect, and intelligence. Astaghfirullah. I was in clear error about this man. Study with him. and go study under him, he told Ibn Mubarak. But my point from the story is to show you how nice he advised his sheikh that he was wrong about Abu Hanifa in a very unique way. In a very unique way. مرة قال رجل ابن المبارك هل بقي من ينصح فقال وهل بقي من يقبل. Ibn Mubarak, when somebody told him, do you still think there is still people like to give advice? Then he told him, you think there is still people like to hear the advice. That's more rare. And Sufyan al-Thawri, he said, I told Mis'ar ibn Kidam, would you like someone to gift you your mistakes? Yani show you your mistake. Because if I tell you what's wrong about you, I'm doing this because I love you, I care for you, I want you to be the best. But listen to what Mis'ar ibn Kidam said. قَالَ مِن نَاصِحْ نَعَمْ مِن مُوَبِّخٍ فَلَا. From someone saying it sincerely, yes. For someone to saying it to humiliate me, no. I just want you to imagine what would you think about in the last moment of your life. I know you never had this experience, but just imagine yourself now you're dying. What do you think you will talk about? About things related to you or to your family or to someone you don't know. What's most likely you think about? About yourself, how to survive, that's right? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, upon his death, all what he was talking about is us, the Muslim Ummah. As-salata as-salata wa malakat aymanikum. Usikum bin nisa. Usikum bi al-ima. Yusi bi al-raqiq, al-abid. Yusi bi al-yatama. Yusi al-salah. He talking about the importance of salah, the importance of treating slaves good, treating the weak good, treating women good, treating girls good. Talk about the salah. So that's taqwa Allah. He's not talking about himself because he's so sincere. Another incident that really strike me when I first read it in the first time in my life, which is Qais. You know Umar ibn al-Khattab? Umar radiallahu anhu. You know Umar, the Prophet's best companion? He was stabbed. Tayyib Tariq? While he stayed 3 days after he was stabbed. And he was bleeding so bad that to the extent, Doctor, they said in the history, when he was bleeding, they used to give him nabidh. In nabidh, it's basically a water that they put in it what? Sugary things, like dates or grapes, to have a lot of sugar, and you drink it. And they thought this will be something basically, to give him a strength because he's losing a lot of blood and fluid, that's right. So when they give it to him, they notice that the water coming from his guts. So whatever that cut, because he was stabbed several ones, then they said, the doctor said, let me check. So the doctor said, let's give him milk. And when he saw the milk with the blood, he said, this man is dead. He's never going to survive. That's interesting that that's what how the doctor in the narration said. He said, when he saw the milk with the blood coming out from his guts, he said, this man is not going to survive. So there's no stitches at that time. But I want you to imagine this. You cut, sit down properly. So when you see that cut, that situation, in this situation, a young man walk in, like Dr. Abdullah Kida, or your brother, saying to Umar, Ya Umar, you have done this and this. And he said nice things about Umar. And while he's leaving, Umar said, stop, come back. Can you imagine he's dying? He's the Khalifa, the whole Ummah waiting. He said, come back. قَالَ يَا عَبْدَ اللَّهِ إني أرى ثوبك مسبلا ارفع ثوبك فإنه أنقى لثوبك وأتقى لربك. He said, I see that you're wearing a garment that is so long and dragging in the floor, on the ground. And for Muslims, we're not allowed to wear something that drag, touch the ground. The Muslims must, when you wear a thobe, like my thobe, or you wear a garment, you have to make sure that it doesn't go beyond your ankle. Okay? So the ankle is the limit. So he said, I see you dragging your thobe. Make it shorter. It will keep your clothes clean, and it will make your Lord pleased. But see, he cared about this advice in the moment of his death. Because they know that advice is something important. I wanted to see how far we are from these examples. That we don't really care. You see your own family doing the bad thing and you don't care to speak, to talk. And advice, it means talk. It doesn't mean force. We don't care that we see people doing things that are harmful, but we don't talk about it. And we don't need to speak about it. And we know the thing that they need the most, and we don't talk about it. That's why, you know, sometimes even in da'wah, you see some people don't like to talk about the thing that people need the most. I was invited once in California to give a talk. So they asked me to give a khutbah. Finally, they agreed to let me give the khutbah. But they said to me, three things you cannot talk about in your khutbah. That's new. I never had this before. Number one, you cannot talk about hijab. Number two, you cannot talk about because it's insult or it embarrass people in the masjid. Number two, you cannot talk about selling alcohol. It's haram. Or to mention it in your khutbah. And the third one, if I'm not mistaken, you cannot talk or to praise or to say anything positive about Saudi Arabia. This is our three conditions. So I said, I understand Saudi Arabia. I understand the hijab, but the khamr is a new one. Then I found out that one of the board is actually one of the biggest distributor for Budweiser in Southern California. Anyway, so my khutbah, you can hear it online. I think it's online. It's called The Polluted Wealth. My khutbah is called The Polluted Wealth. الثروات الملوثة. And it's actually something that I'm very happy about. Guess what? The guy that they were trying to protect came to me and thanked me for the khutbah the most. And actually want me to come back. And he told me how this khutbah means a lot to him. But around him, people, they have no nasiha. They want to suck his donation. They want to suck his contribution to the masjid and the money that he gave, and it doesn't matter he goes to hell or not for them. And that's how I see it. And that's not correct. The nasiha is sincere. You really do it for the sake of Allah. I found out the biggest reason that we don't accept the advice from one another is arrogance. Who are you to tell me that I'm wrong? It's just you're too arrogant to admit that I'm younger than you, but I can tell you. Or she's a woman and you're a man. Or he's a man and you're a woman. Or he's an Arab and he's not Arab. Or he's this or this. Whatever racism or prejudice that you have in your life prevents you from accepting the truth. I'm your father. You cannot advise me. I became too arrogant to take it. That's not correct. Also, sometimes we don't accept the advice لأننا نخلط بين النصيحة والناصح. We mix between two things, the advice and the person. These completely two different things. For example, I come to Omar and I tell him, Omar, you need to stop eating junk food. And he will tell me, Baba, you always eat junk food. Look at yourself in the mirror. Do you look like someone doesn't eat junk food? What make you junk? What make you junk like that is the junk food that you eat. See, he mixed between what? The advice and the person. You jealous of me. You hate me. You don't like me. That's why you're saying this to me. See, no. Separate the issue from the person. Where do we get this from? قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدقك وهو كذوب. يا سلام. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم told Abu Huraira, الشيطان, the Satan, came to Abu Huraira in a shape of a person. And he told Abu Huraira something. He said to him, when you go to bed, read Ayat al-Kursi. If you read Ayat al-Kursi before you go to bed, no shaitan will ever bother you. The Prophet ﷺ said, he said the truth, even he's a liar. He separated the two from each other. The advice is correct. Even the person is bad. Sometimes we say, who are you to advise me? You are bad. You're no one. You're a sinner. You're this, you're that. Don't do that. Sometimes I advise someone and keep telling me, you doing it all the time. It's not your business. It's not about me doing it all the time or not. That's wrong. When somebody advises you, you don't ever look at the person. You look at the advice by itself. And that's a very hard, it's not easy. Also, Al-Imam Ibn Hazm said something beautiful. قَالْ رَأَيْتُ أَعْظَمْ سَبَبْ لِرَدٍ أَعْظَمْ سَبَبْ فِإِنِّ الْإِنسَانِ لَا يَقْبَلِ النَّصِيحَةَ أَنْ يَنْصَحْ مَنْ يَنْصَحُ. Ibn Hazm rahimahullah said, one of the worst manner when it comes to advice, when somebody give you advice, you give him advice in return. Yani Haytham comes to me and he said, Sheikh Waleed, I have advice to you, okay, about this. Then I told them, one, I have advice for you too. You know, you also have this problem. That's very wrong. When somebody give you advice, you don't advise him back. Okay, I have advice for you about how you should approach me next time. You can't do that. That's very wrong. You take the advice, you wait, and if you have an advice for him, you do it later on. Okay? And once Abdul Rahman, the son of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and we end with this, قال أتاه رجل فقال أتى أبي أتى أباه رجل رجل قد أتى أباه فقال له يا أبا عبد الرحمن علمني كلمات جوامع نوافع. يا سلام. Teach me few words. They are excellent advices on very comprehensive advices. Listen to this and we end with this. قال اعبد الله ولا تشرك به شيئا. Worship Allah and don't ever take partners with Allah in any matters. وزل مع القرآن حيث زال. Be with the Quran wherever the Quran takes you. يعني the Quran tell you do صدقه, tell you don't do this, don't do that. Be always follow the Quran. Always be where the Quran is. Like these young men here and young girls, they are here because there is a class in the Quran. They come to learn. Wherever the Quran, stick with it. وَمَنْ جَاءَكَ بِالْحَقِّ فَاقْبَلْ مِنْهُ وَإِنْ كَانَ بَعِيدًا بَغِيضًا. And if somebody tells you the truth, accept it, even if you can't stand that person. But he said the truth, take it, even if you can't stand him. وَمَنْ جَاءَكَ بِالْبَاطِلِ فَرْدُدْ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنْ كَانَ حَبِيبًا قَرِيبًا. And if somebody tells you bad thing, falsehood, ask you to do something wrong, don't, even if he is the dearest person to you. Ya salam. What an advice. What an advice. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who give nasiha and to always accept the nasiha, because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Sahih Muslim, Ad-deenun nasiha. The deen, the religion, one of the most important elements in religion is an-nasiha. We said, Ya Rasulullah, advising an-nasiha to whom? He said, لله ولرسوله ولكتابه ولأمة المسلمين وعامتهم. You became having sincerity with Allah. You're sincere with Rasulullah, you're sincere with the Quran, and you sincerely advise everyone, the leaders and the masses. With this, inshallah, we'll stop, and next week we'll talk about sneezing. And I have an amazing information about sneezing. You remember last time I talked, tell you that I will do some research about medical perspective. And there is a very interesting a study was made in UK on a person who almost got a brain damage. I'll tell you about him next week. You know why? Because he held his nose and closed his mouth when he sneezed. He almost got, basically, you will hear what the report says about him. And because some people, their sneeze can reach to 100 miles per hour. An average person, actually 30 miles per hour, an average person. And so after we read this, you will know why we say, Alhamdulillah. Sneezing is a reset button. That's how the research of Mayo Clinic start. So next week, inshallah, talk about it. Assalamu alaikum.